I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Now, I'll tell y'all what. I'm going to have to move back to St. Paul. We were on White Bear Avenue in St. Paul, moved out to Cottage Grove, but I'm going to have to move back because Mayor Melvin Carter is making it rain like it's Magic City. He's passing out some free money. That's what it looks like to me. But Fred Mello, my man from the Pioneer Press, has a scoop on what's going on. Frederick Mello, is it Magic City or St. Paul? I'm confused because the mayor is making it rain on folks.
Oh, I don't know about making it rain, but it is a pretty ambitious and unique experiment. I think it's safe to call it an experiment. Basically, Mayor Carter just this week announced that he would be selecting 150 families across the city in some of the mixed income neighborhoods, diverse neighborhoods, poor neighborhoods, and he'd be giving them checks for $500 a month for the next 18 months. So it's kind of a universal basic income experiment, you know, almost like a micro grant to see, you know, if you had an extra $500, what would you do with it? Will it go towards rent? Will it go towards utilities? Will it go towards, you know, making up for some of the losses we've seen because of COVID-19? A lot of people either stuck at home or if they're working jobs, suddenly their kid's not in school because the schools are closed and they're having a tough time finding childcare. So he's looking to make a dent in that. Pretty unique. No, the only other city I know of that's done anything like that is Stockton, California.
Okay, so what's the goal? What's the end game? You don't just be handing out money and you don't have some type of objective. Anytime a man is giving me money, he wanted something from me. So this scares me a little bit, Frederick. I'm gonna tell you the truth. I'm like, So what's the goal?
So you know, there's like 22, 24 mayors across the country that have come together in a coalition to advocate for universal basic income. So I think part of the goal is just to prove that it works. That, you know, in Stockton, they did some studies of these. They did 125 families. They started in 2018. They just extended it to January of 2021. And they're giving them $500 a month. And the initial surveys, the initial data suggest that, hey, these folks didn't, you know, just party with $500, which is the criticism. Oh, you give poor people $500, they're just going to spend it on frivolous things. Well, the initial data anyway is coming back saying no, they needed utility help. They spend it on utilities. They needed help with their kids' clothing or food. That it actually helped the basics. So that money recirculates locally. It goes to the corner store. It goes to paying the salaries of local workers. That's the hope, to prove that that's true. So it will be interesting to see the data, but I think for you know, I can't speak for the mayor, but according to what he said Thursday was, you know, we're living through compound crises. The COVID-19 has created a recession for the country, but for Black and Brown folks, that tends to be a recession. For white people, tends to be a depression for people of color. So you've got a health crisis, you've got an economic crisis. You know, and I live in the Midway. There's businesses here that no longer exist. They've been burned to the ground.
Oh, I seen it. I was like, what, these people, they done spent their whole lives, took out mortgages on their house and got loans and trying to live out the American dream. And that everything they work for, Frederick, it is gone.
It's heartbreaking. It's heartbreaking. You know, there's an Ethiopian restaurant. I just gotten French fries for my kids at a couple weeks before the riots. It's a hole in the ground. There's nothing there. Lloyd's Pharmacy, it's been around 100 years.
Oh, my God, yes.
Burned down.
So they're hoping this money recirculates back into the community, helps the families that live there. Do they want to expand this? If it works, and so where's the money coming from? That's what I want to know. How you just pull $500 for these people out your behind when we are, like you said, in a depression?
Well, yeah, so that's one of the biggest criticisms of universal basic income. You know, there was a guy that ran for president on this platform named Andrew Yang, and everybody laughed at him. Democrats didn't take him seriously. The media didn't take him seriously. He dropped out of the race. Well, now, suddenly, you know, the Republicans, even President Trump, is sending out checks for $1,200 or did not too long ago because so many people have been hit so hard by the pandemic. So the city of St. Paul doesn't have money to maintain this. This is really going to be a demonstration of something that would have to live at the state or federal level if it's going to continue. In the short term, the city is looking at CARES Act funding, federal CARES Act funding for about $300,000. The whole project would cost about $1.5 million. So they're really going to have to look to philanthropy, to major foundations. And they haven't announced what they are. They've got, I think, most of them lined up, you know, but there's still a little bit of fundraising to go. The mayor said he's not looking to property taxes, which are already there's a lot of pressure there on the city budget already. But he hasn't entirely closed that door either.
I tell you, it's very ambitious.
Let me say this. You know, it is ambitious.
It is.
But St. Paul's a city of 315,000 people. 70,000 St. Paul residents have applied for unemployment benefits since the beginning of the pandemic. So, you know, we're dealing with depression era unemployment here in this city. Something's going to have to happen. Is this the right approach? I have no idea. He got a ton of criticism on my social media feed from people saying, oh, you know, you just work hard and you'll you know, pull yourself up by your bootstraps. What happens when the job just doesn't exist? Or what happens when you work outside the home, you can't work from home, you know, you're a bus driver, but your school's closed, your kid's school's closed, and your kid doesn't have access to daycare.
Or you can't afford the daycare.
Or you can't
come
afford
on now.
The daycare, I should say.
Yeah, you can get to the daycare, but you can't pay for it because Ms. Minnie want her money up front. She's not going to wait till you get paid next Thursday and, you know, post day to check. It don't work like that.
Right. Minnesota has one of the most expensive daycare systems in
you
in
and
the
I both know that. I'm going to tell you something. Even me and my husband, I'm in Cottage Grove. You know, he graduated from medical school. I got a little piece of degree. And, you know, we got a little bit of money in the bank and, you know, we got access to capital and credit, and it's still hard for us. I had to, like you said, change my schedule because, again, either I'm going to go to work and pay for daycare or just stay home because I'm breaking even.
Right.
So I got to work overnight, and I got a husband. I got a whole husband at home. Some of these people have nobody, Frederick.
Nobody, exactly. We are blessed. I'm blessed, too, because my wife has a big family, and they can help all the time. You know, one last thing I'd like to say is the idea behind universal basic income. Pretend that the pandemic had never happened. This conversation might not have taken off as quickly, but it was still in the works, even before coronavirus. Technology is going to make the engineers, the technologists, the MBAs really rich. You look at Silicon Valley, you look at San Francisco, the median cost, pretty much the average cost of a one-bedroom apartment was over $3,300. In San Francisco before the pandemic. There's no amount of overtime shifts at McDonald's that a working mom or a working dad could do to afford a family apartment in that kind of housing climate. Now, if that's the future where, you know, there's a whole bunch of people driven by technology who have money and then technology eliminates jobs for the rest of us, because when driverless cars are everywhere, they're not going to need bus drivers.
Mm-mm.
They're not going to need Uber drivers.
Mm-mm.
And a disproportionately large percentage of men of color work those jobs driving. But a lot of white people do work, you know, a forklift or a factory machine. You know, all of those driving things, when they get automated, we're going to be out of work. So the idea is, well, you got these people who are ultra rich and then a giant middle class that's shrinking. And a poverty group that's growing, something's going to have to happen to redistribute some of that wealth. Now, there's plenty of criticisms against universal basic income, that it doesn't work. No one's really tried it for any kind of extended period that's really been successful. But, you know,
we got to do something.
we got to try something. Intensifying, and these 24 mayors are kind of at the front of it, including St. Paul.
Well, I like to be on the cutting edge. I like to see new things happen because we can't keep doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. And
that's true.
You know, I know that these families are going to be, whoever is selected is going to be grateful. You know, nobody's squandering money right now because we just can't afford to. And so I just can't wait to see how it's, like you said, it's going to recirculate into the community. I know you're going to keep us updated. I had so much fun hanging with you this morning. You are so amazing. And I really appreciate all your social media posts, your columns, your sharing your story with your kids and where you're eating and what you guys are doing and where you're going. You know, technology is so amazing, and it just brings us all, you know, even though we are separated right now, we can't get together for a play date. It brings us closer together in other ways. And so I just feel like, you know, we are connected. And so I always stay connected with you on your social media. So thank you for being on the show.
Keep on keeping on. You're doing a great job.
Oh, thank you, brother. You know, I love you. All right. Have a good day. We'll look for more and updates and keep me posted.
You take care.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.